So as we look at prayer, I mean, it's one of those things that could be really guilt-ridden, couldn't it? Because we could always say, oh, I don't pray enough. Well, who does? I mean, how are we going to say, oh, I pray enough. I've got that handled down. Don't worry about it. None of us can say that. But the point of prayer is not that, as we've looked at prayer the last few weeks, is not to be guilt-induced. It's not to be legalistic in its nature. It's not to be legalistic in its form. But the issue is, why pray? And the reality is, when we ask that, I wonder why we pray. If God, have you ever thought, if God, I mean, I have at times, if God knows all, which he does, omniscient, he's all-powerful, which he is, omnipotent, he's everywhere, omnipresent, he's all-loving, he knows everything from the beginning to the end, he knows your heart now, he knows what you need. He says he, your Father, knows what you need before you even ask, he knows. Then the question is, why do we pray? If God, who knows all this stuff, why don't we just say, God, just take care of it? And the determinist, those who are of the determinist view, would say you really don't need to pray. That prayer accomplishes nothing. And they would be wrong, completely wrong. You know, I don't like sharing my opinion very well. But they're wrong. Because you do, and it doesn't square with God's word. We are told to pray. We looked at that, pray without ceasing. The issue, as we looked at the beginning on, that we have a God who within that process hears us and knows us. So if God could do that, and this morning I want to give you some of the reasons, just rubber meet the road reasons, why we pray and what does it accomplish and why we should be praying. And are we praying? Not from a guilt view of saying non-existent to situational, to daily necessity, but the issue of our life. And I think as we begin, we see that we have a wonderful opportunity to pray. God's given us a wonderful opportunity. Hebrews 10 speaks of that. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up through us, for us through the curtain, that is his body. This new and confidence that we have to enter the most holy place is through prayer. We can go right to the throne of God, the Father. We don't need to go through a mediator. We don't need to go through a priest. We don't need that Christ's death took away all that mediation. We can go right to the throne. We have confidence to do that. And we have this wonderful opportunity to do so. Do we avail of ourselves to that? To understand that we have that, to know that he hears us. We looked early on at Psalm 65:2. It says, oh, you who hear prayer. In fact, that's actually the title given to God in one of his attributes. It's giving to him who hears prayer. And that same verse says, to all men will come. To all men will come. In other words, there people say, I don't pray. No, I think there's, given the right situation, you will pray. And it's okay. God, some people say, well, oh, you're coming to God now that you've got this crisis in your life. As if God would care. That's where you should go. I didn't pray yesterday, but something happens today, and I pray. Oh, you think God's going to say, the tick-tock, the game clock, thank you for playing. You should have prayed yesterday. Your prayer's no good today. Come on. God doesn't do that way. God says the situations of our life, sometimes, yeah, we may be remiss in praying on the days that things seem to be going well. But fortunately, we're based on God's faithfulness, not our own. And within that, we have a wonderful opportunity, and he hears us. To the God who hears prayer, all men will come. And there's times in your life, I don't matter where it is, there are people when it comes that we pray. We have a prayer hearing God. Some of you don't live this way, I know, and some will. But there are some people who have no one to talk to about the inner things of their life. They may live that life like this instead of like this. Instead of enveloping people, they push them away. And you know, some people pray because that's who they know hears and who know cares. And some people will take that and say, you know what, I don't trust people. And for some time, there's merit to that at times. But they can trust God. And so they pray to him when no one else will hear them, when they don't feel like anybody else will listen. May I encourage you even to take that wonderful opportunity. I think it's something that we miss in so many ways now, especially with our media. But man, could I encourage you to write your prayers, especially when you are troubled When you are really troubled, when the clouds are dark, if you will start to write your prayers to God, you will be amazed how things come into perspective when you start to write. When you start to put it down, we have a wonderful opportunity to come before God. And when we do, immediately what that starts to build in our life is a closeness. We gain a closeness to the Lord within that. We gain that closeness. In fact, in Hebrews, if you went on down, it would say, to draw near to God. We have this opportunity to come into the throne room of God. We're told to draw near to Him. Because there is a closeness that's developed in prayer that's developed in none others. Side note, just popped in my head here. It costs you nothing. I know that there's couples that are dating and they are dating. Said enough. And they want to have a spiritual relationship and have a relationship that's right before God. I am the one pastor probably in the world, the universe, that tells couples do not pray together. Yeah, some of you go, what? I tell them do not pray together. Do you know why? Because there is a closeness that's determined in praying together and an intimacy of praying together that will not be reached in any other way. And you create something that you may not be righteously desired within that process. So you pray and she pray, but I don't know that you should do all this stuff. You know, and for some of you, I know, oh, we're just praying. Uh-huh, right. Yeah, that's a good one to tell your mama, but you weren't praying. The issue there, it builds a closeness that comes. That didn't cost you anything. Forget that idea. Okay, just come back to this. When we pray, it builds a closeness with us and God. There's an intimacy that's established, building a bond, a relationship. We just used media this morning. You text to that number. Well, that's great. Some of you have relationships, and there are people today who have relationships that are built upon social media. It is texting, it is emailing, it is Facebooking, whatever, and they never talk to anybody. The problem is you cannot communicate emotion or heart through texting. You cannot communicate those things. How many times does somebody text you something and you thought, oh man, that makes me mad, and you realize what they texted wasn't anything like that at all. At all. And yet when you talk to somebody, you get to know their heart. There builds a closeness within that. We come close to God within that. We know His heart, the Spirit of God within us, that it develops that. He speaks to us. We have the Spirit bearing witness, and as we pray, we come before Him, we bring Him our heart, we gain this closeness with the Savior. As we gain that closeness, we begin to be changed. To be changed. This conforming process, Romans 12 tells us to be conformed. Be transformed and conformed to the image of Christ. Some people don't like change, but you hear me say it all the time. If you're a believer today, you better embrace change, because that's the purpose of our life, is to be changed, to be conforming to the image of Him. And we do this through prayer. Prayer is one of those ways that we do this, because we gain His heart. We gain this change. Now, there are some who believe, and again, I'll share, I'm not good at sharing my opinion, but some believe in progressive sanctification. And I will say you are wrong. I believe the same God that saves you, sanctified you the day you became Him. He said you made a new creation. God didn't do a half-baked job in the process of changing us. He said you are changed completely. Now, I do believe in progressive conformation, that we are being conformed to the image of His Son on a daily basis, that our life is to be lived as who we are, not as who we are to become. We are to become as who we already are. He has done the work. He said, I have done it. It is completed. It is finished. It is complete. Everything is done. The same God who saves you, the same faith that saved you, sanctifies you, declares you righteous, the propitiation for our sin, justifies us, sanctifies us, redeems us. It's all done. But the conforming, the progressive confirmation of my heart says, I want to be changed to meet Him. I want to be changed to be like Him. And when we pray, what we're doing is we're aligning to the issue of basically saying, God, I'm not in control. You are. When we pray, the bottom line of prayer, the bottom element of prayer, probably one of the greatest things, is when I come to the point of finally saying, God, okay, is that I am exchanging and realizing that I am not in control and that He better be. Unfortunately, at times I wait, don't we? We wait until we've exhausted all of our resources. We've tried to do everything we can do. We've tried to fix it, we've tried to rescue, we've tried to do all this, and we can't do it, and then we go to God. But when we go to God, it changes us, and part of that confirmation is to realize that He is in control and I'm not. And as we begin to change, we start to gain confidence in our spiritual life, to gain confidence in our walk with God, to be changed and to gain confidence in sharing our faith. Pretty soon as we realize that we can trust in him, it gains confidence that we can pray about a situation, that they're not rejecting me, they're rejecting the Lord. And I share my faith, I live my faith, I invite my neighbors, I talk to them about Christ, I talk to people about Christ. We gain confidence to not be so worried about being politically correct or vocationally correct. We're saying it's our life, this is who we are, we gain confidence within that. We gain confidence to speak. We gain confidence to face whatever situation you're facing. When we finally come to that point of saying, God, I just got to give this to you, we gain confidence to face it. And it begins to build trust in him. Man, some people, when we have seen God, when we have prayed and seen God work, it starts to build that foundation of faith, that foundation of confidence in saying, God, you are in control. And yet on the other hand, I even had a person this week say, I am thankful God did not answer my prayer the way I prayed it. Because see, we pray a lot of times, we pray, God, make my will your will. Make my will your will. Please do what I want you to do. This is the way I see it needs to turn out. So God, make it happen. And God is no man's debtor, not even to our prayer life. And yet sometimes God answers and we look back and say, whoa, am I glad I did not get what I asked for. Thank you, Jesus. We gain confidence within that. Within the confidence, though, I think as we see and as we progress, we begin to see his perspective on life. Even Jesus said, God, not my will, but mine. God, if you could just take this away from, but not my will. Charles Swindoll calls it a clear view from Mount perspective. That we see and we begin to see God's perspective on things, that the Spirit of God that resides within us, as we start to pray, as we start to really going before God, not just on the deep things, but just God, as we see every day, we gain his perspective. When we start to say, God, I don't know how to handle this situation. When we start to pray for people, even the person you're going to meet on the street or the checker you start to see, I think some people miss the wonder of God because they don't pray enough to have the Spirit of God alive in their action and alive in their life to quicken them to say, man, that was a God moment. Or I have an opportunity to make a God moment. I have an opportunity to speak of Jesus to this person. I have the opportunity to hug this person and say, in the name of Jesus, man, you know what? I value, I care about you. We miss that because sometimes we're so caught up with our own little texting, our relationship someplace or doing this, that we're not saying, God, I'm about to meet somebody, or God, help me today to see your wonder on display. Help me at work to see my coworkers. Help me to see the teachers around me. Help me to value them the way you do to see your perspective, to gain the perspective with that. And there's times, you know, I realize God is good. We know that. That's what he states. Not everything is good. Sometimes life is just terrible. God doesn't say all of life is going to be good. He says he is good, that we trust in him, that we gain his perspective within that. And when we gain his perspective, I think what comes as well is we start to gain his power. He says it's his power that helps us resist that temptation. It's his power for ministry. Have you seen people serve and serve and serve and serve, and you wonder, wow, aren't they just getting tired? How can people serve? Because they have to realize that, you know, it's not in my strength. It's in his strength. It's in his strength. I have his strength to do this. Have you seen people who have faced situations? You would say, I don't know how they face that. He says, well, one, my grace is sufficient, and two, my strength is going to surround you and uplift you. Why? We pray for the power of God in our life. We pray to be seen as the power of God in our life. But the greatest power, I think, that we need to see, and part of the prayer and the Spirit of God in our life, is, listen, I don't care what you know today, nor does God really, unless you know him. Because every bit of what you know today and you want to share with somebody today means nothing if you can't share it to them in love. Truth, listen now, some of you are going to disagree with this. Truth means nothing. Nothing. Zero. If you cannot speak it in love. Zero. He said, oh, some of you are, no, it's the truth. And they just need to be confronted with the truth. Jesus said, they need to be confronted with my love. And you create the atmosphere of then giving them the truth. Because you can have all prophecies, you can make all the noise you want, and all you become is a clanging cymbal. Bang, bang, bang. Brian does that. He doesn't clang it, but he hits it well. We can do all that, but if you can't speak in love, then it's all nothingness. And some of you have got it here. Man, it's pounded in there. You've been to Bible school. You've been to seminary. You read the Word every day. You got it here. But you don't have the power of God. You've not asked the power of God to help you value people the way he does, that says, I'm going to love you first. They will know that you are my disciples, that you have a love for one another, The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself within that. Everything rests on that. Everything hangs on that. And yet, let me tell you, isn't it time sometimes we need God's power to help us love people, to value them the way he does, to look at everybody in our life, to look at the coworker that you have, to look at the clients that you may have to work with, to look at your spouse and say, boy, do I need God's help to love you. The issue of gaining God's power. And I think at times when we pray, that's the prayer we need to make in our heart. God, give me your heart for people. Give me your heart for people. Help me to love people and value them the way you do. And ultimately, I think the reason that most people pray, be it situational or for daily need, and quite frankly, I know the reason that most of the time I pray is because I need to know his peace. My heart is troubled over situations, over events, or maybe just restless. I need to gain his peace. Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I think most of us do just the opposite. We are anxious about everything. We try to control it ourselves. We worry. Can you flop that back up there for me, James? By the way, James is probably just breaking down into a sweat because it's his first time on the media and we're throwing him to the wolves. I haven't thrown you any real curveballs yet, though. I've been nice to you. Yeah, thank you. You're welcome. We get anxious about everything, don't we? And we don't pray about it. We try to handle it. We try to control it. We try to fix it. And when we can't fix it, all of a sudden, okay, God, I need this now. God, I need it now, now, now. You need to deliver it now. And usually we don't pray with thanksgiving. We pray with the issue of, oh, God, why did I get myself into this? Or, oh, God, how am I going to, oh. And we don't gain peace at all. And yet he says, hey, don't be anxious. The verse previous to that goes into this by saying the Lord is near. Don't be anxious. The Lord is near. Don't worry. God is in control. You bring with thanksgiving, saying, God, I trust you, and I know not everything is good, and this may not be good, but I trust in you. And when we realize that we can rest in him and give him control, that is what brings us his peace. If we try to give it to him and then take it back and say, okay, I'll fix it again, we have no peace because it's dependent upon us. The issue of knowing his peace. Sometimes the troubles are just too great, aren't they? They just seem so great. Sometimes the clouds seem so dark and so heavy, so ominous, and they may be for you or they may be for someone that you love. And all you can do is say, God, I just got to give them to you. I've got to pray for you. I've got to give my requests to you to get that peace, to get that calm, to get that rest, to gain his peace. The last few weeks here, just in our church, it has been quite unique of the troubles that some of the families in our church have had to endure. Some you know well about. The Grillo family losing little Jacob, our services yesterday, 6 years old. But there are some in this service sitting in perhaps the row down from you, across from you, who are facing cancer, who are facing big issues this last couple weeks. And they need the peace of God. And by situation or whatever, they need to come and say, you know what, God, I know you're my Savior because I've given you my life. What makes you a believer today is not attending this church. It's not raising your hands and singing a worship song. It's knowing that you were a sinner in need of a Savior and you give him your life. That Jesus died for you to know you, that you may have life and abundantly. But in a very real sense, every day, someone needs that Savior in their life today, it may not be in your life. You may be saying, thank God, things are going great. Thank you, God. But tomorrow, it may be in your life, you realize, God, I need that Savior. I need you to. I need the presence of a Savior today. I need to know today that you're faithful. I need to know today, I've lost my job. God, I know I need you. I'm facing health issues. God, I know I need you. Every day to know that we need that Savior. Know that He's changed us and that's eternally secure, that we are going to heaven. But it doesn't stop the lifeline of praying to a God who cares about us in everything in your life. People, I believe that whatever affects your heart affects God's heart. And you need to give it to Him. And so today, you may be here and say, I need to be reminded again that I need that Savior. Perhaps you're here and you've never given your life to Christ. You need the Savior in your life. But you may be here facing some of the dark days, some clouds. For you or for someone that you love, know that you have a Savior, that you need a Savior. Call upon Him. Let's pray. Let's make it a daily necessity. Father, this morning, we come knowing that You're a faithful God. We are thankful for that. I am thankful that it's not based upon my faith, but upon Your faith. That You are faithful to me. God, I pray You would help us today to realize that we need You daily. And that, God, I pray You would help us to see the benefits of prayer, but not in a guilt way, but that we would just be reminded. So, God, if we prayed a little bit today, help us to pray a little bit more tomorrow. Help us to approach every situation in prayer. Help us to approach every person in prayer. God, not legalistic or guilt-ridden, but so that we may know Your heart, Your perspective, to love people the way that You love. And most of all, God, to realize that You're in control and we're not. To just learn to trust. Walking by faith, God, means considering You, and I pray that we will do that. So I'm thankful today that You are my Savior, that You've given me new life, You've made me a new creation. But I'm also thankful today that You're my Savior, that I can go to, that You are concerned and consumed with my life and every life. I am thankful that You love me and that You love everybody. May we turn to You in whatever our need is. For it's in Your Son's name we pray. Amen.